Oh, I love the snow. Got a lot of white outside. There'll be a lot of colors talk today. The red, the blue. I'm glad the white is on there, too, because it's Election Day, USA, right? Here in Montana, too. People are talking about a red wave. Obviously, many pundits have anticipated that. I think there's a message that needs to be sent somewhere. But how big a role is voter turnout going to play in this? We have an inflation-ravaged economy, clearly the top issue. But what else brings voters to the polls this midterm election? Going to look at some key races across the big sky and shift our focus to national hotspots today on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today, 866-627-5483, or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Yes, indeed, a full-fledged and often fledgling Montanan. Happy birthday to the great state of Montana. I mean, I absolutely love this place. I know you do, too. We officially became the 41st state in the Union on this date, 1889. And look at us now. 1 million happy people, all with, our own sense of where we're going to go and need to go in this country. How does that align? This is what elections are about. How does our politics and our sense of community and our sense of society, how does that align or misalign with our leaders? Man, today's a big opportunity for that. And I know we talk about it. You're getting out there. You're voting. They really, really make it easy to vote. Your ballots will come in the mail if you want. There are some, I guess, exceptions to that. There have been mistakes made in that regard. In fact, I heard this morning, too. And give everybody, a little bit of leeway here because of the conditions across the state. Yesterday was like emergency travel only in the Missoula area, really tough for poll workers, and they're all volunteers, and God bless them for caring, because if we don't care about this, I think this is the most important, this is the biggest gift that our Constitution has ever given us, and we need to do all we can to protect it. A report already at a polling place around the state where they showed up early to vote, and we called on this as well. They didn't have ballots there, and so the polling place was not open, and it was just because on the there was a car accident, a vehicle accident for the delivery driver. So you'd think those things would be in place early, but they really can't either. There's a lot of restrictions that go into this. Anyway, if you have any questions about how to vote, AARP Montana, we've been talking about their site to go there as well. And we'll be talking about them here in just a little bit, too, as they're honoring our veterans. And a big special thanks, too, to our veterans this week and our first responders as we kind of lean into that. We'll talk about that in a bit later. But Drew Lazofsky is with us. Drew, a Montanan. He is a principal at Apex Consulting, founded this political and grassroots consulting firm. He's got a little bit of poker experience on him as well. So he knows how the cards are being played this election. Good morning, Drew. How's it going?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So let's keep it. I see that's, that you've done some work for the Poker Players Alliance. I really like the game. I'm not smart enough to play this game, but let's use that as an analogy here. I'm just thinking about it. What kind of hand have both parties been dealt in this election, whether it was policy brought on by Democrats like the open border or the rise in crime? I mean, those things are that you can point to those specifically. But what do you think the cards hold before the vote goes down today?
Well, I think this is a good analogy. We both were dealt aces, but one of us is going to have flopped a straight and the other is going to flop a flush. And we're not going to know until we get the river card who's going to win. And I do believe, though, that what we're seeing today is a matchup that we haven't seen in a long time. And it's exciting that we have this opportunity to go out and vote. We live in a great country where every citizen has the right and the ability to go out and vote and express their concern and hold you know, candidates and politicians accountable.
Yeah.
So right now, I think we're in a good spot. I know my good friends there in Tustin, Montana are anxiously waiting to know what's going to happen. But, Tom, I think we are looking at a big pickup in the House, and I think we have a good chance to have a working majority in the Senate.
And people are, what do the polls tell you, Drew? I mean, this is a, and we'll get to Montana, and we're going to kind of poke around the, you know, maybe some of these specific races as well. Over the last few years, I know pollsters have been reconfiguring how to get more and more accurate information. Some are really, really right on. Some are way off. When you look at, you know, the final results here, I think over the past few years, nobody can claim to be pollster king. What do you make of all the polls? And I know that everybody rechecks and sends their polls out in the last weekend of the election, too.
Right. Well, you see, you know, there's polar bias, of course. Pollsters tend to over-select Democrat and liberal areas. You have legacy media companies who are left-leaning, who hire and employ pollsters who are projecting a certain narrative. And so it becomes confusing to people like you and I, just the average Joe, who are trying to figure out what is happening and what is the effect of what we see on election day.
And kind of peeling into that a little bit then, how do political consultants, you yourself among them, Apex Consulting, grassroots firm, your forte, you say, is in building grassroots advocacy. So you rely on these polls an awful lot. Do you take them now with a grain of salt? Do you try to read, throw some tea leaves into the whole equation and try to, you know, garner more and more information out of them?
Sure. I mean, you know, there is a gazillion pollsters out there that all have very good analytical data, and sifting through it and looking at historical norms, et cetera, you kind of get a general idea or a pretty close to where things are going to shake down. But most importantly, it's going on to the coffee shop and to the hardware store and the feed store and the folks at your church and getting the sense of what they are thinking and which way the country is going and what do they want to see happen. And so you kind of add that in. One of the things when I campaign is I always ask the person at the gas station or at the coffee store, who's going to win? Who do you think? Nobody's asking their opinion. And it's always surprising because it doesn't necessarily line up with what the professional pollsters are saying. So it's go with your gut, but it's also look at the information and talk to your friends, neighbors, community members, and you're going to have a sense of who's going to win and by how big. And I think that's what we're seeing today.
Give us an idea too of polls that are tilted and they're meant to be slanted. How do we recognize those just at a glance if we can?
Well, I mean, if you're, you know, if you watch Fox News, they're going to have more of a right-wing slant. If you listen to MSNBC, they're going to have more of a left-wing slant. So it's taking the combination of all of the different polls and putting, you know, looking at the different algorithms that are out there. There's good websites like Real Clear Politics, for instance, that calculate and collate all of these different polls and the different parameters. And it gives you a general average, right? So overall, particular races, you know, some races are much easier to predict than others. For instance, Montana tends to be less money is spent on polling than, say, Nevada. So you really have to, in a great state like Montana, you really have to get out and meet the people and shake the tree and see what people are actually thinking. But if you go on the sites and you look at the national polls, Tom, Republicans right now in the general balloting are leading by 2.5 points, point meaning percentage points, over Democrats. Something's building here.
Well, and that's a part of the story here, too, is that those numbers fluctuated after the Dobbs decision, Roe v. Wade. Many Democrats, especially the whole leaking of that decision, which was a horrible violation in my mind of just ethics in our country. And anyway, that there was going to be a wave, a blue wave because of that. And initially there was some support and maybe a little bit of acknowledgement or outrage in that regard. But it flamed out a little bit early. And my thought was that a lot of people have already made up their minds on abortion. I don't think it was going to rise to the top. And certainly with inflation at a 40-year high, there are few issues that top the ballot in that regard. But I guess the question I'm getting to was, over the last several months, those numbers and those indicators have fluctuated quite a bit, but there's been a resurgence in the last 3 weeks for GOP candidates. Why is that?
Right. Well, it's the people are starting to pay attention, for one thing. You know, most people don't have time that eat and breathe politics, such as folks like myself and you who, you know, we're paid to pay attention every single day. They're just trying to be moms and dads and get kids to school and put food on the table and a roof over their head. They don't have time to sit down and digest all this information. But the enthusiasm gap has been falling for Democrats, because as issues like you just said about abortion, historically when it's polled, it's always in the top five nationally. But now it's not even in the top 10 nationally. The biggest issue facing voters today in every corner of this great nation is inflation and the economy. It's pushed those social issues way down. And so the enthusiasm by Republicans and Democrats for the first time in a long time is on polarity, meaning it's fairly equal, which is giving people uncertainty. Oh my gosh, is the House going to stay blue and the Senate go red, et cetera? But what it is it's those forces that affect the individual voter. Abortion does not necessarily affect every single person, but the economy does.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to weigh that.
Drew, there's one thing. I got about a minute. We'll take a break here. And I've repeated this several times. It was maybe a couple of years ago we had you on the air to evaluate some of these races as well. And we got into that discussion about, especially as we've seen kind of a rising violence and I can point to a lot of them here. The left says it's Republican domestic terrorism, but the statistics don't point that out. Lee Zeldin, 2 assassination attempts. He's a New York governor candidate. Just recently, you know, there's a beer can thrown, at Ted Cruz. That's small. There's bigger things. Arizona Governor Carrie Lake, Arizona governor candidate, I should say. There was white powder sent to her office. It's a misnomer, and it's hard to believe those things. But one thing that stood out, and I have repeated it here and said you have said it, how do you come out when you make a living there, or you're super focused on politics? How do you separate yourself from this? Do you remember what you said? Maybe not.
I don't necessarily remember what I said. No.
Don't make politics a religion.
That's right.
Yeah,
I do remember that now. Yeah. And that is one of the core things that people have to remember. If you make politics your religion, then you're excluding a lot of other wonderful things in your life, because I can't control what's happening in Arizona or Washington or Idaho, but I can control what's happening in my school board, in my state legislator race, and in my congressional race, and my U.S. Senate race.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to be informed and pay attention and learn about the issues and the candidates so that they can be a well-informed electorate. But replacing religion with politics is really an unhealthy way to be.
Well, as a guy who can get a little bit too wrapped up into things, I've reminded myself of that frequently, and it has brought peace at times. Thanks for that. We're going to stand by, come on back. We're going to dig into these races, and more specifically, Montana, some key races. We'll look around the nation as well. Drew Lazovsky is with us from Apex Consulting, and we're back with more on Voices in a bit.
As we pay tribute to our nation's heroes during Veterans Month, AARP Montana wants to thank all those in uniform, along with their families, for their service and sacrifice. As a way of expressing gratitude for defending our freedom, AARP has set up a special free resource site dedicated to Montana veterans and military families, because veterans often face a unique set of challenges as they age or retire. Find this special free resource site online at aarp.org/mtvets.
Half a million mail-in ballots. How many returned? Brian Bennett will have headline news upcoming shortly with that information and more. Yes, it is election day.
If you don't like who's in there, vote them out.
Oh, that's catchy.
That's what election day is all about.
You can recognize Willie in this, can't you?
The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box. So if you don't like who's in there, vote them out.
You know, and I like that. Thanks, Cody, for playing that for us as well. It's a... that's our responsibility. This is still our democracy, and that's why we're fighting so hard when we look at potential, and I know maybe it's the wrong data to really go into that, but we need election security. We certainly do, and if we don't have that, we don't have this democracy that we relies so much on. Drew Lazovsky is with us, principal at Apex Consulting. Again, a guy who grew up in Montana, as a matter of fact, University of Montana alum, and I know a good grizz at that as well. And early in his career, managed state campaigns and ran grassroots for federal candidates and ballot initiatives. Knows the weight of this day. Drew, how you doing today? By the way, you got some candidates that you're chewing your fingernails about?
All the way out here to be here for election night in Washington D.C. So I'm happy to be here with her, and we're going to have a great time tonight. So. Yes, I'm very anxious and excited and nervous. I feel like this is the World Series, the Super Bowl, all wrapped into one for me and folks like myself. So, yeah, there's some interesting races. I think, you know, just looking at the Montana races, you know, of course we have the two big races happening in the new District 1 and, of course, District 2. The interesting thing is we're seeing – Congressman Matt Rosendale has a 40%, approval rating. He's doing very well. He has 13 base points above his challengers. So it's apparent that Matt Rosendale is going to skate into another term. District 1, of course, we have Ryan Zinke and Monica Trinnell, who I'm sure everybody has turned their TVs and radios off by now, I hope, but because of the amount of money that's been spent on that race. You know, Tom, I find that race to be very interesting. Zinke has been a fighter. He's obviously been a Navy SEAL. I mean, everybody in the state knows his resume. But one of the things I remember meeting him some time ago when he was here working as the Interior Secretary, and we were debating an issue, a very political issue on at the Department of Interior, and he said, "I'm not afraid, I've been shot at before." Mm-hmm. And I think right now he knows he's in a fight. His campaign knows he's in a fight. He's got a 2-point lead above Trinnell in a district that is designed to lean Democrat. Mm-hmm. It is going to be a bellwether race in the West, and you know, I'm excited to see what happens tonight.
How do you think the candidates have ran?
How have they run?
Yeah.
Bumpy. I think all campaigns tend to be a little bumpy. You know, there's the feel good ads, and then got to punch my opponent ads, and then there's the try to get back to the middle kind of ads, and you see that. Just to put it in perspective, you know, that race has spent about $8 million between those two candidates, roughly, which is an astronomical lot of money, particularly when you think they're probably spending about 10 bucks per voter in District 1. But when you look at the Pennsylvania race between Fetterman and Oz, Senate race, not necessarily comparable exactly, but they're going to spend north of $300 million on that race. So it's a fantastic amount of money is being spent.
I don't know what to say. I'm kind of bumbling after that. And money in politics is a big issue. It really is. But also our freedom of speech is a really, really big issue for us as well. I don't know that there's going to be any serious talk about changing the way that money influences our elections. There might be things that they kind of knock at here and there. But how, I mean, and the fact that, you know, the amount of money spent, especially in the last decade, has shifted. It used to be Republicans had more corporate dollars, but now there's a lot of corporate dollars on the Democratic side of things. Of course, the environmental industry is, they just throw huge amounts of money into elections. Is there something, sure, and maybe you got a short answer for us here, is there something that can be done about this gross amount of money it takes to win?
Yes, have more transparency. When you donate to a candidate, you don't have to disclose, campaigns don't have to reveal who gave less than $20 to their campaign. If you ever listen very closely, folks, and a candidate says, the vast majority of my money is $5 donations, who's giving that money? Who are these people? Are they multiple people, or are they one person giving 100 times? It's not revealed. Mm-hmm. So just in the transparency, let's just make it transparent across the board.
Well, and that would go to these so-called nonprofit organizations as well, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, nonprofits, dark money, black money, whatever you want to call it. Yes, absolutely. If it's going to be freedom of speech, and that's what the Supreme Court has said, then why shouldn't you reveal who you are?
Yeah, tells a lot.
And that should be disclosed to the election commissions and secretaries of state so that people like myself and you and your listeners can, if they decide to, they can go to the, and they can look to see who is supporting their candidate or the opposite candidate, and to see who is actually supporting them. It would be shocking to most people to know that in the state of Montana, I would imagine that a good percentage of the money that's coming into our races is from outside the state.
Of Big Game Forever, love him as a hunter, Drew Lozovsky is with us here. We'll take a break and come on back with more.
The out-of-touch politicians are at it again. Joe Biden and the Washington Democrats spent big, slashed oil production, and prices have soared. But Matt Rosendale fought to stop Biden's reckless spending and the inflation that's making gas, groceries, and medicine cost more. He'll take on anyone, from big government spenders to big tech companies and bureaucrats. And he'll work to keep more money in your pockets, grow better paying jobs by cutting through government red tape and lower taxes for Montana families. Matt Rosendale has a proven track record of fighting to cut spending and hold government accountable. When Biden slowed U.S. oil production to a trickle, increasing the cost of fuel, Matt supported American energy independence and developed our energy resources here at home, helping lower prices. Bad news for the foreign oil cartels, but good news for you. Matt Rosendale, standing up for Montana, standing up for you.
I'm Matt Rosendale. I approve this message.
Paid for by Matt Rosendale for Montana.
Again, Drew Lozovsky with us here. Tom Schultz alongside. Welcome back to Voices of Montana. Just a couple of minutes as we get into a little station break here shortly as well. Anything else to kind of follow up here? I you know, in this House race, I think it's interesting that we've seen Buchanan throw his hat in the race as an independent. I might have liked him as a Republican. Thoughts on that?
You know, he's hedging his bets. You know, good for him. You know, it's a split vote. I don't know if it was designed or not to split support away from Matt Rosendale, but it's not going to work per se. Good luck to him, but, you know, maybe he'll come back into the fold.
And the House races in Montana, when do you think they'll have that Western District called by midnight tonight?
If I was a betting man, and I am, I'm going to say it's going to be a late night. Mm-hmm. And I say that because you have places like Butte and Browning that are traditionally take a little bit longer to get those ballots in, like we saw in the primary when everybody was biting their supporters, Zinke supporters were biting their nails because they were waiting for a couple counties and precincts to come in, and eventually won that by a little more than 1%. So I think District 1 is going to be a late night. District 2, they're going to call it immediately.
Yeah. Be back with more. 9 seats separate the Republicans and the Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives. What will that be like after today? Drew Lozovsky is with us.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You take pride in your equipment. When a belt is loose or squealing, you tighten it. But what about the most important piece of equipment on your operation? That's you. If your mind isn't running on all cylinders, you can't be effective for your farm or your family. Don't wrench on it alone. If something's not quite right, call someone who can help. Get free, confidential guidance from wherever you are. You can't control the weather, but you can control how you react. To connect with a professional, head to beyondtheweather.com.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
Democrats in the House currently a 221 to 212 membership lead. There's two vacancies there as well. Republicans seem to be poised to take that chamber this year. There's a lot of folks who are thinking as many as 228. Some have said 240. 9 seats separate now currently. You look at the Senate, that's a 50-50 split, and in very, very big key races in the Senate. We're talking with Drew Lozovsky here as we welcome you back to Voices of Montana, principal at Apex Consulting, and again, Grizzly fan. I'm just going to go with that. Poker fan, Grizzly fan, Big Game Forever fan. Drew, I appreciate your expertise here. I'm just going to open it up because House races, we kind of teased into that. 9 seats separate the two parties here. That is definitely going to change. How big a change do you think that might be?
Well, just to, you know, reiterate here, Tom, and this is a great lead up. We have 435 representative districts that are up for re-election right now. Every House district in the United States is up. We have, 35 Senate seats are up for re-election. 14 are those held by Democrats and 21 are held by Republicans. So as of right now, I think what we're looking at, based upon the polling, the enthusiasm track on that the pollsters have put up, the Vegas odds, because I do look at the Vegas odds to see who's going to win. If you believe that there's a good business in the Vegas who bet on congressional races.
They know what they're doing, too. I mean,
And they're predicting that we're going to see a working majority in the Senate of 51 to 53 Republican senators and a House majority of around 237. So that will be a majority, in essence, a blue wave, bigger than the George Bush wave he had when he took 33 seats.
Well, and at that time, too, I mean, that was one of two elections where midterms did not go, where the sitting president did not lose seats, in fact, but he had a 67% approval rating during that election
he
as
did.
Well.
He did, and President Biden is underwater now, and he is drowning. And primarily because of the economy and inflation. But what I really want to focus on, Tom, is for your listeners, there's three races that I believe I looked out across the fruited plain here and looked at three races that I thought Montanans could identify with to give a sense of what is happening. What can we predict? And those three races are all here in Virginia. They're all very tightly held. They're the, Virginia 7th, which is Abigail Spanbauer, former CIA agent, current member of Congress. She's in a district of that voted 6 percentage points more for Biden than Trump in the last election. The second one is VA2, which is Elaine Lure. She is a current congresswoman. She's in a +2 district, meaning 2 points higher for Biden than Trump. And then, of course, Jennifer Wexton, which is she represents the areas around the Washington, D.C. area in Virginia, and she's in a +18 for Biden district. So the reason I want to point these out, Tom, and for your listeners is if the Democrats start losing the +2 districts, like Elaine Lure's district, then they're not going to maintain the majority as Democrats. Once we see, and we will probably start to see, the +6 Democrat districts being knocked off, that is going to be the signal that we're seeing something potentially bigger than just a ripple. It's heading into a wave. And if you start to see the +15s and higher start to have serious inroads by Republicans, right now, Jennifer Wexton, who represents, like I said, a very heavy Democrat region of Virginia, she's only winning right now by 5 points, by 5 percentage points. So Republicans and Democrats and independents are breaking towards Republican candidates. So as we see those polls close at 7 o'clock here Eastern time, 5 o'clock Montana time, if you see, pay attention to those three, you will have a good prediction of what's going to shape up for the night.
Interesting. I appreciate that. I jotted those numbers down, a +2, a +6, you know, Democratic district getting knocked off. And then, as you say, those challenges and even the +15. Is there anything in the House that you want to, I'm kind of shifting now to the gubernatorial, because you're talking about bellwether races there. I look at Michigan as being a bellwether race. Even New York has come into play here. I've watched Carrie Lake's, campaign in Arizona, and initially started out leaning blue, but she has just done such a great job there. What are those bellwether races in for the governorships?
Right. Well, in Michigan, where you have Governor Whitmer, who, you know, was criticized for her very strenuous and painful COVID shutdown.
She didn't let people buy seeds. She wouldn't let people buy garden seeds. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And, the economy suffered, family suffered. Everything was just absolutely terrible there. She only has a 0.1% lead. So she has lost all of her Democratic support. She's projected to win. Mm-hmm. However, she's in danger zone, right? Nevada, we have the current governor, Sisolak, who is losing to Joe Lombardo, who's the sheriff of Clark County, which is Las Vegas, by almost 3 points, 3 percentage points. That's huge. Nevada, when Harry Reid was the majority leader, went from a purple state to a hard blue state, and it is now turning, apparently, to go red again. When you look at Carrie Lake's race, she's projected to win with almost 3.5 points. Arizona, of course, is suffering from the terrible, terrible Biden policies of open borders and immigration policy, just absolutely broken. And, that's going to have an effect on the Senate races there as well. In the region. And it's going to be an amazing night to watch people, you and I, average Joes, going and doing what the founding fathers wanted us to do, and is to participate in our democracy. And we're going to do that today. And the career politicians are going to see that, and it's going to be very hard for a lot of them to swallow the outcome.
I'm curious about the, because, you know, we talked about the colors, the red, white, and the blue, the white being the snow. But there's another color here to talk about, and you mentioned it, purple. Rural often trends red, urban sticks with the blue. And then the battle looks to be for the purple. Maybe that's the suburbs. You know, who are the purple voters nowadays? And is it any one place in particular that you can find them huddling up?
Well, I mean, what is a purple area? They tend to be affluent, white, college-educated, urban. They're folks who have a white-collar job. They believe in distribution of wealth through higher taxes for people above a tax bracket above them to help the folks that are way down below, right? So what you're seeing is in those areas under the Biden administration, particularly with the defund police movement, those cities and those bedrock Democrat strongholds have been hollowed out because of the riots and the absolute just destruction of small business, erosion of civic duty and, public responsibility with the homeless, the amount of fentanyl that has been pouring into our borders, the overtake of education. And so what we're seeing, Tom, is a rejection of those ideals. And even though places like Minneapolis or Washington, D.C., where it's 96% Democrat voters, they're either rejecting those current politicians and voting other, or not voting at all, or voting for some lesser candidate down the line. So people, even though that they don't have a real choice in those areas to vote for a Republican candidate, are still voting down the line and rejecting those policies.
Yeah. I mean, and these are not dubious claims either. I mean, we can see the cause and effect of policy. Like inflation, the same thing for energy, the same thing for the border and crime. And it's unlike, I think, other elections where you might want to raise the value of those issues in a negative way or in a positive way. But sometimes those claims are dubious. I think when we look and vote with our own eyes and our own pocketbooks, I think we see that policy can affect those things for the better. And that's I'm curious about this. But I got to take a break and we'll come on back. And we'll still have a few more minutes to get some closing thoughts. Got to hit the Senate a little bit as well. And so Drew Lozovsky is with us. Of course, we have Veterans Day upcoming. We're going to have a special show on Friday about that. But a reminder here, as we pay tribute to our nation's heroes during Veterans Month, AARP Montana wants to thank all those in uniform for their service and sacrifice, and then salute the nonprofit organizations. Their mission is to serve those who have served this great country. Today, AARP is going to recognize Montana Warriors on the Water out of Miles City. It's a group of local sportsmen and women and military veteran partners, and they partner with the community to provide outdoor recreation therapy to veterans of the U.S. military at no cost. Thank you for that. And for more information on veterans resources, visit aarp.org/mtvets. Back with more in a bit.
As we pay tribute to our nation's heroes during Veterans Month, AARP Montana wants to thank all those in uniform, along with their families, for their service and sacrifice. As a way of expressing gratitude for defending our freedom, AARP has set up a special free resource site dedicated to Montana veterans and military families. Because veterans often face a unique set of challenges as they age or retire. Find this special free resource site online at aarp.org/mtvets.
These days, seems anyone with a website can sell you a new car. But your Northwest Ford dealers know there's more to it. More service than selling. More helping hand than just handshakes. More confidence than computer clicks. And for decades, we've been a friend in the neighborhood. So, whether you need help today or tomorrow, we'll be there. We're your Northwest Ford dealers. Stop by today or visit buyfordnow.com.
We'll share some results tomorrow and probably have Drew back on. Drew Lazovsky is with us. I want to share this text message, and I appreciate the texter. You are such a right-wing-leaning Republican show and pusher of the big lie. Wish you were more balanced, but I still listen. Thanks, Brad in Kalispell. I appreciate that, Brad. I do. I think it comes from a genuine place. And you're not wrong, but you're not entirely right. I would say it's not right-wing-leaning Republican. I would say it's conservatism. And I wouldn't say pusher of the big lie. I would say researcher of the big lie. You know, there are very well maybe two big lies out there, and wished you were more balanced. I wish I was too. I wish I could be more balanced in the fact that it seems like our policies are not very balanced. They're out of whack, and that's maybe why I don't seem that balanced to you. But I do appreciate that you listen, and I do appreciate those comments there too, because we do have to bridge that gap. We do have to get rid of the mud and the muck so that we can talk to each other in this country, so we can actually get some things done instead of all of the games and high school drama that seems to be going on sometimes. Drew, apologies for that. Thank you for being here. Now it's about 2.5 minutes. I'm just going to throw it open to you. Where do you want to go?
Well, what I'd like to just remind your listeners in the great state of Montana, happy birthday to Montana, by the way. Mm-hmm. I didn't say that earlier if I didn't. There's two races we need to be careful about and caution folks. We may not know if the Republicans take the Senate tonight because of the race in Georgia with Senator Warnock and against Herschel Walker. And, of course, in Alaska with Senator Murkowski and her three opponents, really. Both of those are basically ranked choice voting. If you don't get 50%, you go to a runoff. So if Herschel Walker, who is projected to win by one percentage point, if he doesn't break that 50, they will go into a runoff. Same with Alaska. So there will be potentially a little while before we actually know if the Republicans hold the Senate, take the Senate. It will be reminiscent of the 2000 presidential campaign when George Bush and Al Gore were fighting it out for the presidency. It took a while for that to accumulate. So I think we're in a good position, Tom. I think what we are going to see is we are going to see the House go Republican with a decent majority, and I do believe we're going to see the Senate with a working majority for the Republicans.
And then what?
Well, then the hard stuff comes. Yeah. Because the Republicans have to take the reins of power and lead. It's always harder to be the party in the majority and having to set the policy than it is to sit back and be in the minority and simply complain. One of the biggest responsibilities of the majority party, be it Democrat or Republican, is to protect the minority vote. And addressing your comment that you just had, this is the beauty of the United States. We can have differing opinions and still be good neighbors to each other.
Yes.
And when you see a total media dominance by one particular party, you forget the fact that there are opposing opinions out there that also are relevant and carry weight.
Drew Lazovsky, good job. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Tom.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.